Bon Appetitio and welcome to the Off Menu podcast with Ed Gamble and James Acaster.
Hello.
That's James Acaster.
I'll be your waiter this evening.
Oh, and we're still persisting with James being a waiter in this.
Yes.
I've given in now.
Yeah.
I think that's the format.
May I take your jacket, Ed?
Thank you. Yeah. It's not normal for a waiter to do that as well, is it?
Well, we've established that I do all the jobs.
Right,
this
okay,
first
you're
time,
the only waiter. Let me introduce the podcast properly. This is a podcast where each episode we have a guest. We interview them about their dream meal, their perfect starter, main, side, drink, dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you talk to people about food, you find out more about their lives.
Absolutely, definitely do. And also, when you own a restaurant, because you're a genie, you learn more about people's lives.
So, and there's extra layers of confusion that James brings to the pot. I think I like to, I bring sort of good chat,
yep,
fun conversation topics, yes, a little bit of fun food knowledge.
Yeah.
And you bring chaos, would you say?
I bring being a genie
and
being a waiter.
So I went with Bon Appetitio there.
That was nice. That was a very nice start.
I have been saying Bon Appetit, but I've gone Bon Appetitio because that's what a...
Well, I know why you said it.
Do you?
Yes, because you're trying to impress our guest, who's the very well-esteemed Grace Dent.
Grace Dent, indeed.
Everybody, she's a food critic, and, you know, with Scroobius Pip, you were just like, Bon Appetit, whatever.
Yeah.
Grace Dent, you're like, oh, I better up my game.
That must be it. Or it reminds me of a waitress in Bella Pasta in Durham who used to say, Bon Appetitio.
Yeah, probably is that then.
So yes, our guest today is the wonderful Grace Dent.
Ghanaian food critic, also she has her own show on Radio 4 called The Untold.
Yeah, podcast.
Yeah, this is also a podcast.
Which you should definitely get. We'll do a better job of plugging things for Grace in the outro, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. James, do you have any food news from this week?
Well, what I've had to eat.
What you've had to eat? Where have you been? What's your ingredient of the week?
Sure. Sure. Well, the nicest thing I've had to eat this week, I went to Bone Daddy's and I had the poke bowl there. Salmon poke.
Lovely.
Delicious. Like raw salmon cut up with like these crispy little oniony bits in there and some that were fried. And some rice and guacamole, loads of guacamole.
Lovely.
I put some hot sauce on it, some carrot in there.
Oh. So that's James's food news. I saw a woman on a train nearly choked to death on a salad. So that's my food news.
Loads of food news. Also, this week, we should point out before we go to the podcast and interview Grace Dent, every week we have an ingredient that is a big no-no that we do not like. And if it comes up in the podcast, they're getting kicked out of the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And this week it is
fennel.
I hate fennel, Ed. I absolutely hate it.
Why do you hate fennel? I don't mind a bit of fennel.
It tastes disgusting. Aniseed stuff is not nice. The first time I had aniseed or anything like aniseedy was when I bought some of those licorice torpedoes, but I thought they were jelly beans.
Right.
So what I expected as a child was that I was about to eat some jelly beans, and then I tasted the most disgusting thing you can possibly taste when you're expecting jelly beans.
Yeah.
I spat them out in the bin. I've never done that with food before or since. Spat them out into a bin, and I hate anything aniseedy now.
But you know that's not what fennel tastes like.
It does taste like licorice torpedoes.
It doesn't taste like licorice torpedoes, mate. It's a very light aniseed flavour and it can actually bring a lot to a dish. And raw, it's very refreshing.
It tastes like licorice torpedoes, Ed. And that is why if Grace mentions it, she's out on her ass.
Here's Grace Dent.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Grace.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. This all just feels really sinister, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm going to address this up top. You came in and you said, I've got some feelings about this, which I'm going to talk about when we start recording. You seem suspicious of the whole situation.
It just seems a bit odd, actually. You know, for a start, I heard that you were doing a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
James asked me, and I generally try to ignore most of the messages James sent me.
Sure, why wouldn't you?
And then James said, I'm doing a podcast. And if you just said to me, what are the top 20 things that you would guess it was going to be about?
Yeah.
I would go through a massive list of them.
Some example, what sort of things do you think?
Cars.
Cars?
The comedy circuit. Mm. Laddish things. Boys. Boys things. I don't know. TV.
How many times have you met James Acaster?
I don't know.
I'm a laddie boy who loves cars.
Well, yeah.
He's written off three cars in his life.
I have.
Well, this is where we bonded over that, didn't we? Because yes. I failed my driving test 7 times.
Yes.
So I thought that
that's
was maybe
incredible.
I thought, well, thank you very much.
Surely, after time number 5, you'd think this probably isn't for me.
No, I'm going to carry on.
Yeah.
I'm carrying on. No, every time I get a few more like years older, I think, no, this is my time.
You get in the car again.
And then
fail
again. And it's fail bigger. Yeah. And that, I've got to say, that is brewing again in me at the moment.
When was the last failure?
It's definitely before my last husband.
Is that how it works? Fail the driving test, marry the instructor.
That's it. Just sometimes you have to just count them off on husbands. It was a while ago. And now I feel older and I feel more like, no, I can do this.
Yeah.
I could, and also I live like up north quite a lot in the Lake District. So it's a pain in the ass if you haven't got a car.
Sure.
Like I can't, you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. You can't, you know, anyway. But that's just, I mean, look, I can drive.
Yeah.
So you were confused. You thought this might be.
You can't, but yeah.
No, I can drive though. Yes. I can.
Not
I
legally just, though.
No, the DVLA won't let me, but I can't.
Yeah, legally.
Oh, no, yeah, that's not really how it works.
So it's not a podcast about cars. It's not a podcast about lads things.
No.
What surprises you that we want to talk about food?
Because I mean, I know a lot of stand-up comedians and they don't eat. They tend to live in fairly unsanitary conditions. Mainly on service station pasties, or back at home in rooms that smell kind of reheated microwave supermarket meals. You know, look at James, for example.
You've never been in my flat.
I mean, I've never been in your flat. But in my mind's eye, it's just, it kind of smells of, you know, cheese and chive Pringles.
This. Yep.
A lot of cheese and chive Pringles.
Well, fat smells of cheese and chive Pringles.
Well, probably that, and then some like Lynx wildebeest or whatever, just sprayed like randomly about.
What else is in the flat? Lots of posters of cars?
Just loads, posters of cars, and just
and
lots
babes,
of lots
babes
of
on cars.
Basically, high street honeys, lots of FHM high street honeys posters. Yep. Pulled out of the mag, you know. I don't know. I just can't. I've been
in my cheese and chive den.
Cheese and chive things. I feel well. Look,
yes.
I think that maybe this is the interesting thing about the podcast, and this goes on to why it's surprising and also lovely that you're doing it. Is that there's a very set group of people in British media who discuss food.
Yeah,
and that's it. That's the end of it, and it's very difficult to break into that. So when you put BBC One. On the cooking programs have got the same set of people, and it is Greg Wallace speaking to Mary Berry, and then on a Saturday morning it's the same people that are coming through, and it's the same chefs, and you know, and they maybe have a comedian on, but it's just to kind of to sit awkwardly and get 2 lines, you know what I mean? It's like kind
offer of up opinions on Pringles.
Well, exactly. Is it not? I mean, do you feel offended? Have I said anything that's wrong? What is in your fridge at the moment?
Oh, what's in my fridge at the minute? That is mine. I've got some Saint-Aguer cheese.
Okay, well, I mean, that's just one step up from Laughing Cow triangles, isn't it?
James, do not let me down, man. We need to change the opinion of stand-up comedians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a pasta sauce, but I don't have any pasta.
It's a jar of pasta sauce.
Yeah, he eats them like a yogurt.
I mean. Yeah. So I haven't done anything with that yet.
A jar of pasta sauce. That's just lazy. Exactly. We're going back to how have you got a food podcast when your idea of making a simple ragu is to go to a 24-hour garage and bring back something that's mainly toxic.
Well, to be honest, I didn't buy it. It was a gift.
What have you got in your fridge?
I've got
a lot of vegetables, tofu.
Yeah, but do you do your own shopping?
Yeah, I do my own shopping.
Okay.
Well, online. Does that count?
It does count. Well, so you put in a because I mean, I find this like grocery shopping online, like a slight, it's like a therapy.
Yeah.
Like everything that when everything in my, I've got my apps from, and when everything's going wrong, I just find a quiet corner of the studio and I just sit there going, you know what I mean? Yeah, tofu.
Yeah.
And if you know that it's coming at that, you know that you have managed to get food coming to your house at 6 a.m. the next day. It's like everything's okay.
It's beautiful.
And then also if you get up and wait for that grocery, those groceries, and then put a wash on at the same time, so the house smells of fabric conditioner. Mm. You can basically have a really high functioning heroin habit, and it's like everything's fine. I haven't actually got high functioning.
Yeah, a bit of a specific example, but, plucking out of nowhere though.
But you could literally have been up until 4 a.m. going crazy, but you still feel like you're nailing life down.
I think my fridge is pretty full of
Ed
stuff.
Ed does a lot of cooking.
Do you?
Makes himself a lot of stuff.
A lot of cooking. I try more
than most comics, I'd say.
Would you feel, would either of you feel confident to have, I mean, I'm the restaurant critic for The Guardian, and I'm one of those gargoyles you see on MasterChef, like waiting for the chefs to come in so I can make them cry.
Yes.
Would either of you feel confident enough to cook for me?
No.
No, I wouldn't feel confident in doing
it. I'll answer that quickly. No, I do not feel confident enough to cook for you.
So that's a good idea for a new column.
Do you Santa Gertrude cheese in pasta sauce?
What is Santa Gertrude cheese? It's not even cheese. Delicious. It's not even cheese. So it's some creamy kind of mucus with some like nutritional yeast in
it. Keep on talking.
I love nutritional yeast.
Yeah.
But then I think that, I mean, joking aside, whatever you cooked for me, I would be very gracious, and I wouldn't.
I'm not sure that's true.
I wouldn't. No, honestly, I think
name's
that
Grace.
I think there's a feeling. I think that what people see on MasterChef is very pantomime, you know.
Mm.
And I think that in real life, I would just be really happy that someone would cook for me, because I'm generally very tired, and I just want someone to cook something. I mean, not you, James, because I don't want every. But I mean.
Yeah.
Babe, do you want me to get you some pasta? Do you want me to let
you buy some pasta on the way home or something? Really get some pasta.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So this podcast is not about us knowing too much about food, really. Okay. But I think there's a lot of discussion to be had. They're building the perfect meal.
Yeah.
So we've asked you to come up with your favourite starter.
Welcome to our restaurant.
Oh, and something I should also let you know as well. James has sort of gone so deep into the concept that he's imagined this is a restaurant and he's the waiter.
Proud to be of service. Proud to be of service to you.
But he's a waiter who sits with us for the whole meal and occasionally asks you what you want.
James, you'd be a terrible waiter.
Well, we'll see, won't we?
What do you think would make James a terrible waiter?
Because I don't think that James is very good at hiding his contempt.
I think that is absolutely true.
And I think that that's one of the, I'd say that's probably rule one of hospitality.
Well, this is. But here's the thing, though. The better a restaurant you'll find, the more rude the waiting staff I find, because they know that they've got good food and you'll carry on going there anyway. This restaurant is a magical restaurant where you can order whatever you've had in your whole life, all your favourite things.
Okay.
So I know that I can be as contemptful as I want. I can be really rude or mean or judgmental to all the customers because they'll keep coming back because I've got all of their favourite dishes here.
And whatever you order is bringing you back cheese and chive Pringles anyway. So.
Yeah, yeah. I hope you like them. Extra pasta sauce.
But before we get into your choices, we're springing a quick surprise question on you.
Okay.
Poppadoms or bread?
Poppadoms or bread?
James, stop it. I would say Poppadoms because I think that it's very... it's tempting to go in on the bread, but the bread's gonna, you know, with every meal when you're eating out, it's very tempting to like eat all that bread when it's first brought because we're all... it's delicious and then it spoils your meal. So my, you know, people say to me all the time, how are you not enormous? Because I'm out all the time eating. And it's because I avoid stuff like that.
You don't have the bread.
And also, I think it can ruin the meal in another way. If they bring bread at a restaurant and it's bad bread, then it makes you really worried about the meal ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but when they, they put down a basket and, it's hard. And you think, well, how long has it been sitting there?
Yeah.
So, yes.
And I don't think you can mess up a poppadom.
What dips do you want with that poppadom?
Ooh, can I have a few?
Well, yeah.
The standard ones. I want the raita. Yeah. I want the mango chutney. I want something that's mint. And I want, we're talking about very, very kind of British influenced 80s, like what we think Indian people eat, which they probably, you know, they don't, I'm sure. And, you know, that kind of very slightly diced onion.
And
it has to be in kind of silver tureens that are on a kind of stand where the four of them are like in a little tree.
And it spins.
There's something, I think that there's something about that whole ritual of poppadoms coming and everybody getting one and crunching them and you've never felt, and you know, spooning things. And I don't think we've ever felt more British.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's clearly nothing that's authentic about that. That's just something that we...
Yeah, that feels like a truly British thing, doesn't it?
Completely. Yeah, completely.
Would you take a whole poppadom or would you break a bit off?
No, I wouldn't. Because...
Are you ever the person to... There's a stack of poppadoms. Yeah. Are you the person to break them? Are you the person to just punch the top of them?
No. I just think, no. I think that's a really strange thing that people do.
Yeah.
When the pop... It's such a dick-swinging move, that.
Yeah, it really is.
When, like, the poppadoms arrive and there's always somebody who just goes... Oof.
Yeah.
And you just think, well, I don't want your foisty-handed poppadom. And also, like, why do you think you have the right to do that? But I would never go and get a full one, because I'm continually playing games with myself about how much food that I've eaten. So I will always get less with an option to go back. Then get more. Do you see?
That's a good technique. Because what I would normally do is get a whole poppadom and get all the dips and put them in different quadrants along it, and then just sort of eat it like a big pizza.
You see, there's several things that men do if you were going to go out on a date with them, which they would do, and you would think, I can never see this man ever again. And,
and that's one of them, is it?
That's like a psychopath thing, isn't it?
Also, would you like anything to drink while you're looking at the menu?
If I was going to have a drink, usually the first drink when I go out is I'll have a glass of champagne.
You look at a glass of champagne just to wait?
I'll just sit, yeah.
Any brand, any particular?
My favourite champagne that you can get freely everywhere is Tattinger.
How do you spell that? I was writing that down.
I was like... Tattinger. Tattinger.
Yeah.
No, I like a glass of Tattinger, and I will, that always just takes the edge off the day. I always have that I can't drink a lot. I'm not, I think people think, that I'm a big drinker, and I'm not. I'm a real lightweight, and it gets worse the older that I've got. And the thing about being a woman when you're like in the public eye is that you only have to get a little bit drunk publicly a few times, like, or write about it.
Right.
And like, you know, I heard Tracy Emin say this once, and it stuck with me always, like, you only have to be drunk on a couple of occasions and you are then ever more the incredible drunk shouting woman. Do you know what I mean? I think that people are surprised that I'm pretty much sober all of the time.
Yeah. I suppose if you're out a lot.
Yeah, exactly. That's how, there was a point when I started being a restaurant critic, where I realized that there's two ways that this can go. And, you know, exactly, one of them is that I start to really control what I'm putting into my own mouth and like my hangovers and getting drunk, or you just end up with gout, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you do get gout.
There's a few of those restaurant critics knocking around, you think you've really gone all in.
Yeah.
Gaunty ones.
Oh God, there's a few that can no longer walk.
Well, we can't get them on the podcast. We'll have to go and record at their house.
Well, you can, but you have to push them in like on Silence of the Lambs, just standing upright.
I'll fetch you those. To start.
The thing that I would like is something that I'll probably never order again. But I love it, and it's the beef shin ragu with probably it's like freshly made tagliatelle, and it's at a restaurant called Trullo in Islington, and I don't eat a lot of meat these days. Like, I'm almost vegan, and I say almost because I don't want people to spend my entire life tripping me up about it.
Sure, you know, popping up from behind curtains.
So I can't, you know, and I'm never going to be perfect. And with my job, I there's sometimes when there's meat in front of me and I am going to professionally have to eat it. But, you know, on a day-to-day basis, I don't. And it's one of the things that really jumps out at me that I will miss. Maybe I will eat it again, but it's so good. The beef shin, which is a really kind of ugly piece of meat, and it's like if someone brings a beef shin to your house to cook, like if you're, you know, one of my friends brought one when we went on holiday on a cottage. They were like, I've got a beef shin. Opened up the boot and it looked like a crime scene.
Yeah.
So it's ugly, but you have to, you know, stew it and stew it and stew it. And then it's so good and so rich, and clearly something wrong, you know. It's clearly the tasty, tasty smell of murder, you know. It's clearly, you know, and Morrissey used to say, you know, that in kitchen and meat is murder. He says kitchen aromas aren't very homely, and that is it. It's something, but there's something about that every time me and my friends went out, we would get that. And so some of my friends loved this dish so much that they would just go, oh, I'll have that for the starter and that for the main course.
Because it's double beef shit.
Yeah. It's the greatest thing. So,
there is something about those big cuts of meat that you need to cook slow and long.
Yes.
You can just taste the effort that's gone into cooking them. It's just amazing.
But, you know, getting back to the veganism, you know, like I live up in the lakes half my time. And it's like I feel as if I can't meet the sheep's gaze.
Yeah.
You know, like I was out, you know, it was a few days ago, I was up there and like I exercise loads up north and there's like tiny little lambs and they're all just lying out like basking in the sun. And I just think,
you can't have that smell coming from your house.
I know. No,
they definitely
can't
talk.
Really,
they stay away from that lady's house. Smell what's coming out of that.
So I'm very torn. But if I was to set aside my consciousness.
Yeah, you're conscious, but you have to be conscious.
I would have to be conscious.
That is one of our only rules in this restaurant.
Yeah.
I would, do you both eat meat?
I do. Ed doesn't.
I'm similar situation to you. I'm saying like almost vegan, about 3 or 4 months actually. But I still like to talk about meat a lot.
Yes.
Sort of feel, don't agree that I ate so much of it in the past, but I feel like a sort of a reformed football hooligan. Like, I don't agree with what I did in the past, but I still like having a discussion about dust ups that I got into.
Was the last
feel the glee?
The last meat you ate, was that with me in New York?
Technically, no, because then I had an awful chicken risotto on the plane on the way home.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we'll say the last meat that I ate was I shared a massive steak with James in a restaurant called The Dutch in Soho, New York.
Absolutely love The Dutch.
Yeah.
And we were...
Is it good?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
we got this... Because we originally went there on what was the last day of our holiday. And then our flight was cancelled.
Hang on, you two like go on holiday together,
we go on
don't
holiday
you?
Together, yeah.
Yeah, but our flight was delayed. So when we originally went to The Dutch... We wanted to get the steak and then didn't get the steak.
Okay.
And then the flight was delayed and then we're like, right, our actual final day, we're going to The Dutch and getting that steak.
Okay.
And it was...
It was worth it.
You know when you cut into a steak and before you've even put it in your mouth, you go, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is already the best thing I've ever tasted and it's not even in my mouth yet.
What kind of steak was it, do you know?
I can't even remember what...
I think it was a ribeye.
It was, yeah, it was a massive on-the-bone ribeye.
Do you want me to tell you what the... what the next steak is that you have to mention to be cool.
Oh, yes. So, you know, yeah. Cool steak.
So there's cool steak.
Ribeye used to be cool, didn't it?
Ribeye's cool. But the one that people, the one that's coming through now that you have to say is, have you got any tomahawk?
And that's a massive one on the,
that's
on
like,
the bone.
Yeah,
right?
And
that, bone then, tomahawk.
You have to get a bone tomahawk and then they cut it off, and what you then have to do, and this is a big power move, this is up there with banging the poppadom,
yeah.
You then pick the bone up.
Yeah.
And you gnaw, not gnaw. You get a knife. Whatever the
saw.
Word is, you saw.
Yeah.
You saw the little bits off. That's the ultimate.
That's the power move.
Power
yes.
move.
Yeah.
And then somebody from the restaurant will come over, and because they're in the know, they'll go, oh, yeah, they're the best bits, aren't you? And you go, yes, they're the best bits. So that's like, oh, it's all restaurant criticism is just smoke
wait.
And mirrors.
I need to go for a wee. Is
well,
that all right?
I mean, keep, well, I think keep, that's keep
very,
us in the loop,
very
James.
Unprofessional thing for a waiter to do.
Oh, I'll go for a wee.
The thought of James as a waiter.
It's funny, isn't it?
I mean, he would never get the job in the first place.
I think you're exactly right about what you said about him not being able to conceal contempt.
Because that's almost, it's like 80% of the job, is that especially if you come in on a Sunday to do the Sunday shift and you went to, like you finished work at 11,
yeah.
You ended up staying till 3, like flirting with the waitresses and
yeah.
drinking. And then you're like 2 hours sleep upstairs on a sofa and it quickly wet wiped your armpits and then like, you know, went downstairs again. That's what he would then have to put
have to
on
deal
a smile
with, yeah.
and kind of, and dealing with people on a Sunday when there's just huge families of them.
I worked in a pub for a while and had to work the Christmas Day shift.
Oh, my God.
Now and again. It wasn't the hiding contempt that I had trouble for there. It was hiding genuine sorrow for people having Christmas dinner in a terrible pub. Like, it wasn't a nice... I just, like, put the food down and go, hey, there we are. I'm so sorry.
Bless you.
I've seen how this is cooked. This is no way anyone should spend Christmas Day with a boil-in-the-bag sliced turkey.
Oh, that was quick.
Yes, I'd actually just check with the kitchen if we had the beef ragout. and we do. We're very happy to make it for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom a an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
And for your main course?
Well, my main course is probably, would be a surprise to some of you, I think. It is, I eat lots and lots of rich food and lots of, you know, food which is, like I was out the other night at a place called Hyde, which is in London. It's one of the biggest, most expensive openings of the year. They spent millions. It's got a car lift in it.
What's a car lift?
A lift that you drive your car in and drive up. It's Russian money. It's Russian money. Let's not ask where it came from. It's Russia. Just Russian money, right? And when you go to order wine, they bring you like an embossed book with about 60 pages in it inside a wooden box. And then they give you an iPad to go with it. So the iPad's got 4,000 wines in it. And, you know, all of the wines that, you know, really, really, really expensive. The minute you open it up, you can just see that some bottles of wine are £5,000.
Just ask for the house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they send a sommelier over, and I just thought, right, I'm going to say to him, you're not fooling me into spending £200 on a bottle of wine, because I just kind of went, look, I just want to spend, like, choose me one, but 60 quid, and it's like his face was just crestfallen. He was just like, well, you've completely spoiled my evening. You know, he did. He did bring us. But anyway, I digress. I eat so many meals in places like that where everything is petals and pipettes, and you know, and jus and things that have been distilled. People that make their own. Everything's made homemade. That when I am off, I like beige plain food.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the best things I ate last year was a tray of chips and curry sauce.
Wow. There
we go.
Because I'm northern, so all chips should be come with some kind of moist liquid.
Should be drenched, right?
No dry chips.
I think that chips and gravy is a bit of a northern people eating chips and gravy. I actually think that's a myth. I think that from the 80s onwards, we got that taste for that chip shop brown, slightly radioactive curry sauce, which is quite sweet. It's got a little bit of heat, and that's what we started to eat. And it sates me, you know what I mean? It's like the chips, lots of salt, a bit of vinegar, and then curry, but not curry over all of them, curry over some of them, because some of them have to retain their crispness. And my brother had taken me to this up north. He said, I'll cheer you up, Grace. We'll go out for the night, and we're going to go and watch this festival, this like little kind of local festival. And the headliner was Badly Drawn Boy.
Right.
Is this going to be the most northern night out?
It was like literally the most northern night out. And I remember he came, Badly Drawn Boy kind of came on, and he was like, this is my friend who who died. And then he started to play some, like, and I think someone started heckling him, going, like, you know, like, buddy, we didn't come to hear your life story. And he's like, ah. And it just all went wrong. And it was like, kind of, obviously, it was a summer up north, so it was like sideways sleet. And we're all standing. And I remember saying to my brother, going home. He's like, no, stay, we'll drink more Stella. Like, no, no, I'm going home. And I remember walking out and I got myself some chips and curry sauce and just walked like the mile home, eating them. And I just thought, this is probably the nicest thing that I've eaten in a world of stupidness, you know, in a world of like, you know, everywhere I go, it's like someone's just like banged a button on the wall and everyone just starts acting crazy, you know, because of I'm a critic. And like everyone's like, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say, we don't, I know that you want turbot, but we don't have turbot. I'm thinking, I never bloody said I don't want a turbot.
I want chips and curry sauce.
Stop acting mad.
I'm quite a cool and collected waiter in comparison, aren't I? Quite good. Quite happy with my...
How would you behave?
You are the first critic we've had in the restaurant, actually.
Yeah.
But I am quite relaxed about it.
I understand why people are scared with regards to a critic coming in because, you know, they have spent a lot of money on this and the money has come from funding from people who have put all their money in but don't strictly know loads about restaurants often, and they're gonna have to report into them, you know. So they all sit down on Tuesday morning going, and also what did she say? And there's also, I've got, you know, all restaurant critics, all of the kind of big well-known ones, we weren't food experts in general. We were just people that can fire out a lot of copy really on anything, you know. So you've got that raised right. It's like if you look at what Giles Corran does as well, I think he's probably the one that's the most similar to me, or I'm similar to him. We, you know, we're both people that just write. We can write in a funny way. So I think it probably makes people worried.
Well, we're not worried in this restaurant because this is an automatic 5-star glowing review because you're choosing everything you want to eat.
Also, but just to make sure it is 5-star, what chip shop are we getting these from?
Yeah, is it a specific thing or is it just generic northern chips and curry sauce?
I don't think I can write that down. I can't write northern chips and curry sauce.
It's not that. Hate crime. Yeah. It would be chips from, I'm not going to name him, but there's a place. It's gone now. There's a chip shop.
We can still name it.
I know I can't because you haven't heard what I'm going to say. There's a chip shop in Curragh, in Carlisle, where I'm from, and it's gone now. But I had really, really good chips and I used to wind my brother up the entire of all of his childhood that was actually his dad.
But
the guy that ran the chip shop
was his dad.
That's why you can't name the chip shop.
I'm not going to name it because
I mean, it's not true though, the lie that you told as a kid. We can still say it.
I don't think he's alive anymore. No, I'm not going to say it because people listen to it and it'll end up in the Carlisle Evening News.
Or that you made a joke that he was your brother's dad.
Yeah, because it'll be like his wife's probably still alive. She'll probably start getting like a ready reckoner out and working out whether my mother did actually have sex with him or not.
We are in the early days of the podcast, so we could do with an exclusive like that.
Yeah.
But I used to always, as we were getting older, whenever there's a family occasion, I would always say, oh, Dave, probably not you because it's just close family, you know?
That's a funny joke. That is funny. What side dish would you like with that, Grace?
Because we all need a side dish with chips and curry sauce.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I would eat these things together. And I think that this is probably why I really fare well as eaten almost vegan. It would be the side dish would be from Little Owl in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
And it would be green beans in a kind of, it's got green beans but with like macadamia or it could have been walnut. It was a nut. Mm. And I should have looked it up, but then it was and it was in a kind of a soy honey glaze. So we've got it's basically really souped up nutty beans in a kind of soy umami type, and it really changed the way that I thought about food. I went there for my one of my birthdays a long time ago, And I remember it really made me rethink how we do vegetables in this country. Like we, you know, we don't, for a start, we're coming through a point in history where British people don't want to, working class British people don't want to pay extra for sides mm-hmm. of food in general. They're like, oh, it should just, if you're paying the money, it should come with chips, you know, and then, mashed potato. So people are just about getting used to, and I'm talking about outside London, looking at the bottom of a menu and it says, you know, mashed potato, £2.95
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah, yeah.
right? But even then, we don't really, restaurants don't really do anything with that veg. It's as if meat, all the way down the page, fish, meat, fish, then maybe a salad. And then at the bottom, it'll just say potatoes of the day,
yeah.
you know, carrots. And all you can really hope for is like some butter's been put in with them, maybe, but often yeah. not, you know, often
yeah.
not. Sometimes
plain,
it just comes
plain
out.
Boiled veg, yeah.
It's like
boiled
you were talking about a pub you worked in where, you know, Christmas Day, people go in there for Christmas.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it's wrong to do that
yeah.
to people,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, to kind of go that the turkey, that's the turkey, and then everything else should just be slapdash. So I think that New York really began to teach me that, you know, you can go out for dinner and you could have two or three sides put mm-hmm. together. And mm-hmm. that would be like, there's just as much love and care put into what they're doing with, you know, with the beans or the peas.
And
or
Brussels
whatever.
Sprouts on every
oh
single
my God.
Menu. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Like sprouts, just, you know, like what we do with sprouts in this country is ridiculous. There's
yeah.
this idea that, you know, you only have them like going up to Christmas, and then you only have them like you have three at your office party pub dinner.
Yeah.
and then you have three on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And they're like stewed and again, no butter. Whereas if you put sprouts, you can make a casserole type thing with them. And you just kind of like layer them with like cream and salt and pepper and herbs. And they are just...
I've learned a real lesson recording this
thing.
Podcast that I should never do it hungry.
Because
now I'm just thinking about those sprouts.
Sprouts. Yeah. Explain, yeah. As you describe
yeah.
all these, I'm like... Oh. Before we get them to pudding, what drink... Have you got like a favourite drink? Or has that already gone with the...
No. I was thinking before I came in that... what has always kind of let me down in polite restaurant world society is that I don't like anything really. Well, it's like I mind it, but it's like I hate it, but I don't like a Negroni, like so anything bitter. Do you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Like the kind of, I don't want anything that is kind of vermouth based. And they're the very cool drinks, you know,
yeah.
like everything, they, you know, and I think that that kind of, that, it, there's something about vermouth, it just reminds me of being 11 or 12 or 13 and stealing it from my mother's...
The drinks cabinet
drinks
stuff,
cabinet,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know what I mean? And like flailing around and around at a school disco and...
Was that your first drink that you had too much of?
No, that was Merry Down Cider.
Merry Down Cider.
Do you remember,
cider.
Do they
no.
make that Merry Down's double strength? I remember...
Like cheap cider?
Cheap bottled cider. I remember drinking a bottle of it and waking up and I'd came in and tipexed something on my desk and then just fallen into it and fallen asleep. And I had like this kind of like Tipex kind of, it wasn't meant to be a swastika, but I remember that's kind of what
yeah,
it
yeah.
looked like, you know? And I remember just being sick and sick as I couldn't drink Merry Down for ages. But I mean, do you remember Special Brew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever drink that when you were younger?
I remember drinking a can of Special Brew on Wimbledon Common. We all used to go and I went to school in Wimbledon and then we'd all, Friday night, we'd go to Wimbledon Common, just opposite the school, and all drink cans of Special Brew.
Yeah.
Ed went to a private school.
Did he? So
yeah.
all right.
Yeah,
okay.
Special on Wimbledon Brew. Common, but we all, you
yeah.
know, come the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter where you went to school, it's cans of Special Brew on the
Common. With a Special Brew.
I need to finish what I'm saying. So I don't drink bitter drinks, and the one that I always find side, it really shocks people, is I love a pina colada.
If you love pina coladas. yeah.
And what you'll find with pina colada is, because it's obviously it's sweet, it's like a real hit of sugar, and it's comforting, and it, you know, it's a pineapple-y, and it's like, and but it's also, it kind of gets you pissed from the feet up, so you
yeah.
kind of have like two or three, and you realise you just seem to be shouting louder than everyone. And what I find with pina colada is when I'm in somewhere fancy, and they come along and they go, cocktails, and someone will always go, can I have Corpse Reviver number 2, please? And someone's like, can I have a sidecar? And someone's like, oh, and can I have a Negroni, but it has to be this type of Negroni. And then I'll go, can I get a pina colada? And everyone will laugh. And then someone will go, I'll have a pina colada. And then it just kind of spreads down the table and you can just see the waiter going, suddenly there's like, you have to make 16 of them. So is it someone's gone,
hang on, we don't have to be cool.
We don't have to be cool.
We can just have what we want. Yeah.
When it's a hot day and you're somewhere and everyone has a pina colada, it is impossible not to have a good time. It is Club Tropicana. It is Wham Heyday. It is summer holidays. It is Club 18 to 30s. It is getting pissed and, waking up with your knickers in your handbag.
You've done well, though, because you've got quite a sort of carby mane. Yes. So I don't think you're going to get pissed that quickly.
Yeah, but you've got quite a puddiny, that's quite a puddiny drink. And now we're going to go on to a pudding. I'm wondering, wow. So help me God if you say cheese and biscuits, so I'm flipping the table over.
The pudding I've chosen is from the ridiculous Russian restaurant that I went to on Friday. And it was called something like a religious, beautiful work of art, kind of sponge, but iced with like a pale blue, like duck eggshell blue icing. And it was like art. It was beautiful, you know. Dinner for two there, being really, really conservative with what we ate and trying to really pick out all the things that we're charging us extra for was still £420.
Whoa!
You know?
Whoa!
And it was, so this pudding came out and it was gorgeous. It was a glorified cupcake.
Yeah.
Basically made into something beautiful. But it came with a tiny glass of jasmine, chilled, pearlescent jasmine tea, and the jasmine tea was the greatest thing I think that I've tasted. When you're given it, you drink it kind of like this, like a frantic orphan being given mother's milk. You're like, like that. It's like it's sugary, but it's also. But I think that with jasmine, the taste, we know. I think we can imagine how it smells, and we've tasted it maybe in low rate jasmine tea. But this was the real deal, and you never don't taste jasmine like that. And I remember coming out and feeling quite giddy.
Yeah,
you know, like that's how. That's one of the greatest things about food, that when it's done well, it's like drugs. It's like, you get this, totally. I always say this, I always kind of point at my chest and go, it's that, it's just, you know, that's why we're addicted. That's why I'm addicted to restaurants. You know, I'm always looking for that.
Yeah.
That kick, that high, you know.
There was a moment when we went to the Dutch the first time in New York. James is a big puddings man.
Oh, yeah.
And we ordered, I think we ordered all the puddings, didn't we?
To have us.
There was four of us.
There was four of us. Yeah. But we did order all
there
the
was four of them. Nobody else wanted one. Yeah.
And there was one that was, it was a chocolate mint. They called it like an ice box cake or something. Yeah. And James had a bite of that. And he grabbed my arm to steady himself, closed his eyes and went, oh, fuck.
I said, fuck off is what I said.
Fuck off, fuck off. He told the pudding to fuck off because he liked it so fuck much. Off.
That is exactly what I'm talking about.
That's the moment.
You just go, and sometimes the chefs will have kind of like, play with an idea, you know, they'll kind of riff on, like that they want to do something with apple that reminds them of a sweet that they had, like a boiled sweet they had when they were a child, and it'll turn out that it was the same boiled sweet that you had when you were a child, and like things like that happen where you just go, you go to eat pudding and you feel you want to cry, you know what I mean? You feel like there's a place in London called Ferrer. A restaurant, a chef called Simon Rogan. He's got Michelin stars.
I've been there.
Yeah. And he does things like that. You know, he's kind of roughly the same age as me. So he'll have themes will come through his food where I'll go, that's the fox's glacier mint that I used to have at my house.
I was going to, as soon as you started talking about those feelings with food, I was going to mention Longclume, which is one of my favourite eating experiences.
Up in Cumbria.
Yeah, up in Cumbria. I was doing a gig in Ulverston, so me and a few of the other comics went to Longclim for lunch. It was absolutely phenomenal. Amazing. So good.
So the cupcake itself, Is that, it's not really the headliner.
I think...
The jasmine tea.
I think the jasmine tea was the headliner, and I also think that I'd eaten, I feel as if I'd eaten, I had the vegetarian tasting menu at this place. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of things like asparagus in three stages.
Right.
So one course was asparagus, and then the next course came out in a completely different type of asparagus, and there was... It was lots of bits, and you know, there was a kind of a pulverized beetroot course, which was kind of had like petals all over it. But in reality, you've spent all evening drinking, and you haven't eaten anything.
I think it's a problem generally with like fine dining. You're having such small little portions, bits. And you just end up absolutely wasted at the end of the night.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Now, here's a big, big question. Out of all those things you just told us about, if you can only have one of them,
To have like? The chips and curry sauce every single
chips and
time.
Curry sauce. Not every single time.
There wasn't. We didn't edit out a pause there. That's how quickly Grace said chips,
Grace
and, curry
said chips
sauce.
And curry sauce without thinking about it.
If
and
I, yeah,
all
I
around
mean,
the world, all these fancy chefs started yeah. crying.
And not like deconstructed chips and curry sauce.
Oh God!
No.
Polystyrene tray.
Nothing fills my heart with more dread when you MasterChef and you're just in, I'll say, a deconstructed banoffee pie.
What's the point of people deconstructing it?
No food in general, especially not puddings, benefits from an autopsy. Like,
no.
Just yeah. give me,
because you're
going to
mix it all together anyway, so you get the taste of the banoffee pie.
It's incredible,
right?
That it's that, you know, yeah, putting everything in tiny little it's a kickback from probably the late 90s and the experimental. I just think that it's yeah.
Also, here's something I've noticed: when people say the chef's got a sense of humor, they normally mean they've added popping candy to something, don't they?
Like funny the, chef,
yeah.
Or they say one of the things that drives me mad, yeah, is yeah, it's playful. It's playful.
It's very playful.
Or they say the chef, can I explain the concept? The chef will be taking you on a journey. And I'm thinking, I don't want to go on a journey with him. I just want you to bring me some food. Stop talking. I went, one of the most expensive dinners I ever had was a place exactly like him. It's called Alvin Lung. And he used to call himself, he's going to hear this, I don't care. Alvin Lung, the demon chef.
And Alvin will listen to our podcast.
And Alvin's, all the photos of him were these, like, in a big, cock swinging photos of him like holding knives and like saying the journey he was going to take.
Smashing poppadoms.
Smashing yeah. poppadoms, yeah. And he, so I went for dinner there, and that was one of those where every so often they'd bring like one tiny little dim sum in, like with some kind of incredibly expensive caviar on it.
Yeah.
And you know, at the end, it was about £600 for two, and it sent me into this spiral of actual genuine depression, right? Like for days I just kept thinking about like how many shoes that would, you know, pay for inner city children in Tower yeah. Hamlets kind of thing. But one of the causes of that, you're talking about it being playful, and he said there was what the pudding was called Sex on the Beach.
Right.
And what he'd done was he'd got a pile of kind of sugar and made it into sand, so it looked like sand, and then he'd got, he'd sugar spun something that looked like a condom, and he'd injected sugar syrup semen into it.
I'm out.
And then just draped it over the sand. And it was to, it was a playful take on when he used to live beside a beach and people used to have sex.
Playful. Right? It's gross.
And how that's he got around it. Before they asked, before they served it, they said, "It's a little bit risque. I hope you're not going to be offended." And of course, I'm not going to be offended. I'm from Carlisle, you know. Seen it all. And then they brought it out, and then they gave £15 to the Elton John AIDS Foundation.
What, because of the pudding?
Yeah, to they charge you an extra £15 for it. Anyway, it's gone
to
now.
That yeah, I bet. That
but that means
like
he had a conversation with like, "Oh, I really want to put a condom in one of my desserts."
You had to pick it up though. So you imagine you've paid, this is like £40. So then you're picking it up and you're literally like, ah.
So you eat the whole thing, it's all edible.
It was all edible, yeah.
Yeah.
But then he's basically gone, someone said to him, "You can't, no one's going to eat a condom." He's gone, "What if the money went to an AIDS foundation?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "Yeah. Joe, what? If you really want someone to eat a condom that bad, we'll phone up an actual charity and organise a thing."
Well, thank you very much, Grace. I think that sounds like a wonderful meal.
Boys.
And I hope this wasn't as weird as you were expecting it to be.
It hasn't been weird, apart from James being kind of a creepy butler with a stranger with turned hand.
I'm a waiter. I think that's very clear.
He's a waiter, and also, we haven't revealed this yet, a genie.
I'm also a genie.
Are you?
Yeah, well, this whole place, this whole restaurant, I magicked it up, and I can go and get you whatever food you want from around the world and just grant you your wishes. There's actually no other staff in this restaurant. It's just me, the genie. And I come out of a gravy boat.
Every time that you go into character, it's just really unsettling. But what I would say, being serious, is it's actually been lovely to talk to people who just love food and aren't involved with the restaurant industry, because it's been funny.
Well, exactly.
You've made me laugh anyway.
And your descriptions of food were delicious. I want to try all of it.
I'm genuinely hungry now.
Yeah, really hungry after this one.
Am I the best guest so far?
Yes.
That's all I want.
Safe journey home, Grace.
Thank you.
Can please, I come? The car lift is on your left.
Bye. And
bon appetit. Done. Yum, yum, yum. All finished, that episode.
That hit the spot.
Oh, what a... Our plates are all clean. Let's...
And Grace was a bit mean.
And Grace was a bit mean. it was great. What a different vibe we've had from every episode so far.
Yeah. Very, very much appreciated. And, I mean...
In a fun way, I'll say that.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Great fun.
I'm not going to pretend like I didn't know what I was getting myself into when we booked Grace Dent. So I'm happy about that.
And she said that your flat probably smells of cheese and chive Pringles.
It doesn't, but I might start trying to make it smell like that now. Sounds delicious. Quite like that.
So that was Grace Dent. Thank you very much to Grace for coming in. It's a few things we need to say about Grace. She's the Guardian restaurant critic.
And she has a podcast called The Untold on Radio 4.
So check out those things.
Oh, we did that very well. We're doing this well. We're not so good at it that we can't congratulate ourselves afterwards out loud. But we're doing well at plugging it so far.
I just think, that we're perfect for just doing ad reads and things like that.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to sponsor us.
Yeah, if anyone wants to
sponsor us. I can't name any specific companies because we can't mention you.
Oh, yeah.
For free,
Naked bars. Quite like them. Oh, yes. Grace, congratulations. You did not mention fennel.
Well done.
It was not any of the ingredients in any of your dishes. If it had been, oh, so help me. There were no honourable mentions in that episode.
No.
Grace had no honourable mentions.
That's a format point you're going to need to remember to bring in at the correct moment, I think.
Yeah, I've got to start doing that.
You've got to start doing
that. That's on me, that one.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to say it.
Yeah, but... Because it's not good, man.
This is good.
Honourable Munchions is not good.
It is good. That could be a whole other restaurant.
Well, maybe you go and start that podcast yourself, Honourable Munchions.
Honourable Munchions.
It's like a little extra thing to this podcast.
Yeah, it's like the extra slice to our Bake Off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off Menu with James Acaster's Honourable Munchions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the episode. That was the episode this week. We'll be back. We'll be back next week.
Next week with another guest and another delicious meal. And listen, if you feel like putting Netflix on and watching my Netflix specials under the name of Repertoire, I ain't getting involved either. You can do what you like. Watch them.
And while you're there, when you've watched all of those, maybe you want to watch a TV show called Almost Royal.
That's got Ed in it.
I was just leaving that. I was just imagining if that was the last line of the podcast, but I think we should probably just say goodbye normally.
Goodbye normally. That's a funny dad joke, isn't it?
It is. This is like Jim Davidson and John Virgo now.
No, actually, goodbye.
Thank you very much. Eat up.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.